You know, Linda showed a video last week about, remember this guy taking the survey, about he was asking a question and wanting people to sign this survey about euthanizing old people. And my question was, did these people just not listen to the question, or did they just not care? And I began thinking about questions that we ask. And sometimes we ask silly questions. Sometimes we ask wrong questions. Sometimes we ask good questions, and good questions are so important to ask. But I was sitting down this week, and I wanted to try to think of some of the dumb questions that maybe I have said or someone had said to me, and I know you'll relate to some of these. And has anybody ever said to you, will you promise not to get mad if I ask you something? Somebody said that to me. I know they're fixing to offend me. I know they're fixing to say something that I'm not going to like. When they have to ask me, do you promise not to get mad before they ask me? I heard this question, and I actually probably said this question myself, but I've said, you don't honestly expect me to believe that, do you? You don't honestly expect me to believe that, do you? Well, of course they want me to believe that. They said it, they want me to believe it, but it doesn't... Some of the things that we say just don't make sense. And that's sometimes a question that we might ask. How about this one? I had a lady that came to work, that worked with me 25 years ago. And she came in, and they were introducing her around the office, and I said, hello, nice to meet you. And she said to me, you don't remember me, do you? I guess not, because I just said, nice to meet you. You know, I'm old, and I'm terrible to name and numbers, but when she said to me, you don't remember me, she was absolutely right. Don't you hate to go to the doctor's office? And you go to the doctor's office, your appointment is at 1 o'clock. 2:15, they come to get you, and they say, I haven't kept you waiting yet. My appointment was at 1, and I was here. And it's 2:15. Yeah, you kept me waiting. My wife asks me this question all the time. Are you asleep? Well, if I am asleep, I'm not going to answer that. What?
I was at the doctor recently, and he had called me on the phone and said, we need to discuss yada, yada, yada. You need to come in. Well, I made the appointment. I was sitting in the exam room. He walks in and says, what are you doing here?
You made an appointment for me. Yeah. You know, we ask them sort of questions. One time my wife woke me up and said,
oh my God,
I don't like the way you're breathing. Really? I was asleep. I felt like I was breathing okay. She promised she would never wake me. I could die before she wakes me up and asked me that.
You stop breathing. God, you make me sound so terrible. Are you asleep? And if I change the channel, I was watching that, you've been snoring. You tell them all the
truth. I have said this to my children before. When are you going to grow up? How do they know? They're not grown up. This is when they were small. When are you going to, nobody knows when they're going to grow up. They grow up when they grow up, I guess. But some of us never grow up. Yeah. You know, asking good questions is an important thing for us to learn to do. We need to learn how to ask good questions. I read that a great scientist said when he would come home from school, his mom never asked him, "Did you learn anything today?" She would ask him, "Did you ask any good questions today?" Because, you know, if you ask good questions, you're going to learn something.
Amen.
Because you're going to get maybe an answer to that question. A Nobel Prize winner wrote this. He says, "You can tell whether a person is clever by his answers, but you can tell whether a person is wise by his questions." Mm-hmm. And a great philosopher once said, "Judge a person not by their answers, but by their questions." It's important that we ask honest questions. It's important. Sometimes we will ask dumb questions. We're human. Sometimes we don't think about what we're actually saying, but sometimes the questions we ask have an alternative motive. We ask the question, when you ask false questions, you either want to put that person on the spot that you're asking that question to, or you want to shine the light on you. Either one is totally wrong when asking a question. In this scripture verse today, I'm going to be in Luke, the 10th chapter. There's a man that comes to Jesus, and he asks him a question. Let's look at verse 10. I'm going to start reading in verse 25. "And behold, the lawyer stood up to him put up to him the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he," and Jesus, "said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going out from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and was stripped him, and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was getting down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denaro and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who had fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise."
Amen.
When this question was asked of Jesus, this lawyer wasn't trying to get to discover some great secret. He wasn't even trying to find out how to get into heaven. He was simply there trying to trick Jesus into saying something that he could use against him. He was trying to make the Jews turn against Jesus. He was trying to get Jesus to say something that he couldn't refute. And actually, he asked him two questions here. But we're going to deal mostly with the first question that he asked him here. He says, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, look at that question. The first problem with that is the lawyer is saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What should I do? What one thing do I need to do to make sure I get into heaven? What is that one thing, that one specific thing that I can do to please God? Obviously, this man had no concept of God's love and mercy here. He simply wanted to know if there was something that he could do himself to inherit eternal life. You know, he's not unlike many people here, not here today, but in this world today. There are so many people today that are trying to get the minimum standard met to get into heaven. They want to do the very least they can do. Once they do that, they'll be okay. Believe in Jesus, check. Be baptized, check. Coming to church at least on Christmas and Easter, check. So they think they've done the things that were necessary to inherit eternal life. They don't realize it's not anything they can do. It's something God has already done.
Amen.
But so many, like this lawyer, had this feeling that there's something that we must do, some act, something that we do that's going to please God. Nothing profound about this. This man was just trying to cover all the bases here. But when Jesus asked him this question, he turned it around. And he asked the question back to the man. You know, they say a good lawyer never asks a question that he doesn't already know the answer. They say, as a lawyer, you never want to ask a question that you don't know the answer to, because it could come back and surprise you.
Yeah.
Jesus is telling this man, you know the answer. What do you say is the answer? What does the law say? And you're an expert on the law. You know the law. What does the law say that you must do? And the expert says that to Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you have answered correctly. If you do that, you will live. I wonder why Jesus said that. Why did Jesus say to him, you do this, you will live? I mean, obviously the man is already alive. He was there asking questions. He was physically alive. Maybe what Jesus is trying to tell him, there's more to life than what he had been experiencing. Maybe he was telling him that he's missing out on something. Maybe there's more to life than just existing. Jesus made a promise, John 10. He says, I've come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. So many of us live such dreary lives. I saw this when I was looking up those questions. I looked up the things that we spend our time on. Listen to this. It says, American has spent 3 years in business meetings, 13 years watching TV. We make 1,811 trips to a fast food restaurant. We're involved in 6 motor vehicle accidents in our lifetime. We're hospitalized 8 times for men and for women 12 times. We spend 24 years sleeping and 5 years dreaming and 6 months waiting at a red light. Unless you're a driver like Tim, who's on the road all the time. He probably doubles that. We spend so much of our life doing humdrum tasks, yet we spend so little time doing things that make us truly alive. Now, one of the questions in this election this year is, when does life start? The Republicans have one view, the Democrats have another. You know, theologians have been arguing about this for seems like centuries, but I read a story where a Catholic priest was asked when life began. He answered, life begins at conception. A Jewish rabbi was asked when life began, and he responded, life begins at birth. A Baptist minister was asked, and he said, life begins when your last child goes off to college and your dog dies. Well, we all have different views of when life starts. It's not the life that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about abundant life. He's talking about life after accepting Jesus Christ and what we do more than just exist. We have this abundant life that Jesus promises. He said, Jesus answered this question to this attorney, to this lawyer. New life is possible through the power of love. The love you have for God and the love you have for other people. This no one is more alive than a person that's in love. Think about your life when that first time you were in love. Think about how that person was the center of your life. How much your life, I mean, people have done crazy things for love. They've climbed mountains, they've crossed oceans, they've started wars, they've given up their thrones. They have done crazy things for love. Love can even change the way you look. You get this glow about your face. You get this twinkle in your eye. There is such power in love that it's like no other emotion the world has. If you withheld love from a small baby, that baby would either be sickly or maybe even die. Didn't matter how many minerals and nutrients it took in. Without love, it can't survive. Love is essential for us. Emotionally, spiritually, physically. We were created to be in a community. We were created to share with other people. We were created to belong to something. There's no force in the world that moves us the way love moves us. It affects everything about us. It affects our heart, our soul, our strength. It affects our minds. Love demands all of our emotions. It requires that from us. To love is to live. God says, abundant love is when you learn to love God. What does it mean to love God? You know, we talked a lot about that just in Sunday school. Chris didn't know what my message was going to be on. But, you know, there's this notion that back in the Christian community that the Jews feared God, but the Christians loved God. I think that's too simplistic, and I don't think it tells the whole story. You need to remember this. That lawyer that was quoting that scripture was from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. These were what the laws that the Jewish people believed in. And yes, the Jews feared the Lord. But I am convinced that maybe these Jewish people know so much more about the love of God than any of us may ever know. Listen, maybe the Jews did fear God, but that attitude is so much closer to than the casual, irreverent way we use God's name today. Nothing irks me more than to see a famous athlete, a musician or a singer or an actor or somebody famous who lives their life like hell. They don't live by any Christian standard whatsoever. They receive award and they stand up and say, I want to thank God for this. Now, Chris gets on to me about this. I understand that. You're not to judge these people. I get that. But you know what? I think that hurts Christianity more than anything else. Because people think that's what it means to love God, the way they act. Listen, the way we act, the things we do, the things we say, reflect on what we believe. And people are just standing up saying, I want to thank God, just because they want to be part of a group that believe that's a good thing to do. You want to thank God, thank Him by the way you act, the way you present yourself, the things that you do.
Amen.
Don't just stand up there and say, I want to thank God. Show that you thank God. When we love God, we need to treat Him with reverence and respect. That's how we serve God. That's how we're to treat God. And then we're to treat other people the same way.
Amen.
We're to treat people the way we love God. We're supposed to love them. And that was the second question this lawyer asked. Well, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus told him the story of the Good Samaritan. A man on the outside. A stranger cared more about this man than his own people did. This man loved this man more than his own people did because they didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to bother with it. To love, you can't be lazy. Truly love, you can't be lazy. Requires effort. and work. It requires us to open ourselves up. And yes, when we do that, we can get hurt.
Amen.
We can get hurt when we love somebody, but the only way that we can have that abundant life that Jesus is talking about is to love God.
Amen.
And to love others. That's the only way we can have that abundant life. But not only abundant life now, but in the world to come.
Amen.
To love your neighbor as you love yourself. Man, that's a hard thing. You know what? It's easy for me to love God. Because I see what God does for me every day.
Amen.
I know how much God pours out His blessings on me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know how much I'm indebted to Him. I know what He has done for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to have that same kind of love for somebody who doesn't even like me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even answer me to be around. Mm-hmm. It's different than me. But we need to learn how to look to people through God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That God created that person. God loves that person. Who am I? Who am I not to love that person back?
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be times in our lives
mm-hmm.
that we are going to be tried and tested. And it's important that when we make decisions about people. And Chris is right, I shouldn't be judging people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to continually ask for forgiveness of that. You know, I look at what they do and you just don't see it, but
mm-hmm.
who am I?
Mm-hmm.
But God can judge us. And God says, the way you judge other people, so I'm going to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
The way you treat other people matters to me, mm-hmm. God says. It matters to me how you treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are hurtful and spiteful and you have anger and unforgiveness,
mm-hmm.
you're just pouring that on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're just pouring it right on yourself. You want to have abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
Ask this question. Ask this question to yourself. Am I truly doing everything I can do to serve God? And you'll find the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of us get there.
Mm-hmm.
But we can keep going and keep going, like Michael said. We just got to keep doing it. We can get better at it. The more we do it, the more you do anything, the better you get at it, right?
Amen.
The more you do something, the better you get at it.
Amen.
Forgiveness is a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is also a required thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful for the many opportunities God has given me a chance to forgive people that have hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some I haven't been able to take advantage of that forgiveness, and there's probably some that I still need forgiveness for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it out loud that I haven't forgiven, but maybe by my actions or words I haven't. But that's not what God wants for me. It's not what He wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be that good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
To love somebody. He may not be like us. They may not be any relationship to us. They may not even like us. That doesn't stop us from liking them.
Mm-hmm.
Loving them. And the things we do, the things we say, matters to God.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know what?
Oh God, under the bridges, across his
You have to speak real loud.
What about other people and the princes?
What about me?
We're supposed to treat other people when they're the prince. Why don't we have a
government? You hate them or what?
No.
Do you dislike them?
Why don't we open our houses to them?
Huh?
Why don't we open our houses to them?
Well, we can't be all things to all people. But that doesn't mean we can't care about them. There are a lot of people that their life work is to feed the homeless and shelter and stuff like that. We should do whatever we can. We should do our, and we certainly should not look down. We should not discourage them from wanting to be better, because we all need to be better. We can't, you know. Jesus said there's always going to be poor.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to cure all the poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to cure all the sickness. Mm-hmm. You just do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And do it out of love. Mm-hmm. Father, as we come to you today, we look at sometimes, Father, the questions we ask. Are they honest questions? How many times, Father, have we said, God, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but you know my heart. How many times have we tried to explain our actions away? How many times have we had unforgiveness for other people and say, well, I have forgiveness, but that you don't show any signs of it. Father, I thank you that you know our hearts, and you know our spirit. And Father, we can't trick you. We can't hide from you. We can't say one thing and do another, because you know us, Father. You know us from the inside out. When I judge people on the outside, I'm looking on the outside, Father, but you judge them from the inside. Father, I pray that all people will turn to you, that everyone would want to be thanking God for the things that they've accomplished in their life. And Father, I want that to be true and honest and pure. But Father, I just am so leery of the way the world has turned on that today, Father. And Father, just help me understand what you want from me in this. What you want, how you want me to act, what you want me to do, what you want me to say. Father, I thank you for this group of people here today. Father, it's easy to love them. They all love us back, and we're a family. Father, when we leave this building, when we leave this place, we're going to be with other people. And there may be people who are not loving us back, or not even kind to us, Father. Some people just ignore us. So, Father, our forgiveness needs to go all the way to the bottom, from the head to the feet, Father, forgiveness. Father, we got to love you first, because we can never love other people the way we need to if we are not truly loving you. But Father, you will continue to pour out your Spirit and give us opportunities to show that love to other people. May we take advantage of every opportunity we get. Father, thank you for this day and the people that are here today. Father, may we leave here today knowing that the way to abundant life, living a life other than the whole young life we live, to get to that abundant life, we have to be like Jesus. He says, which one of these men were a neighbor? The man said, the man who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. May we do that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're here today.